power and territory. When someone or a group of people abuse the Bible and use it to degrade, exploit, or reject a person or group of people, the ones who degrade, exploit, marginalize, or reject need to be stopped. Abusing the Bible to degrade, exploit, marginalize, or reject is never right. It is never Christian. It is never good. Why am I talking about this today? Today's Bible reading is about Paul and Silas in jail and an earthquake and the jailer and a baptism. Why am I talking about Bible abuse? Well, because it relates to how the whole scene started. Paul and Silas were minding their own business, just going to pray. A slave woman who made lots of money for her owners by telling fortunes knew something about these apostles. She kept telling everyone that these two were slaves of God and that they proclaimed the way of salvation. She annoyed Paul. He really just wanted her to go away and let him do what he wanted to do. No compassion from Paul towards this woman. He thought she was a nuisance. So, after simmering for a bit, Paul finally lost his temper. He angrily cast out whatever it was that was annoying him in this woman. And she stopped telling fortunes. Her owners were angry. They were no longer going to be able to make gobs of money from her. They were no longer going to be able to make gobs of money because of Paul. So, the men who were no longer able to make gobs of money roughed up Paul and Silas and got them thrown in prison on the charge of preaching. Veiling a desire for power or money with religion is similar to and just as bad as abusing the Bible. When someone or a group of people who abuse the Bible to degrade, exploit, marginalize, or reject a person or a group of people find themselves chastised, uninvited, or prevented from degrading, exploiting, marginalizing, or rejecting a person or a group of people, they are not having their rights violated or their religious liberties attacked. Those who abuse the Bible to degrade, exploit, marginalize, or reject are being called to task for abusing the Bible and ignoring God's rules of love. No matter how you dress it up, the real reason behind the righteous indignation of those who abuse the Bible to degrade, exploit, marginalize, or reject others is the loss of power and territory. People in power don't like to lose it. People whose power hold comes from degrading, exploiting, marginalizing, or rejecting others will try to make their cause seem righteous. It is not. Paul and Silas were scapegoats and were thrown in jail with false religious accusations when what they really did out of annoyance was heal someone who had been degraded, exploited, marginalized, and rejected. And scapegoating is wrong. Right? Here's the big problem. Scapegoating is in the Bible, and it isn't usually seen in the horrible light it deserves. I can't swallow that God either desires or demands, or desired or demanded, the sacrifice of an innocent in order for there to be forgiveness of the many. It's time to change our way of thinking. God was not and is not a futile Lord who demands a scapegoat in order to forgive. Lesson one today. The Bible and religion must never be used and abused to build up power or territory of one over another. Moving on. Paul and Silas spent their time in prison shackled and under heavy guard. They passed the time by singing and praying. And then there was an earthquake. The jail shook. The doors opened. The shackles came off. Paul and Silas were free. And they didn't leave. They stayed there to share the good news with a jailer who thought his life was over. He had failed on his most important assignment to guard these criminals. When they shared it, the jailer believed. He took them to his home. They shared the good news with them, and they believed. Things happened just as Paul had said when the jailer asked, "What must I do to be saved?" We might ask, as Ronald Cole Turner, professor of theology and ethics at Pittsburgh Theological Seminary, suggests, what must I do to be saved from what destroys me? What must I do to be saved from my particular bondage, my oppressive addiction, emptiness, or boredom? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. And here comes the difficulty. How is it that someone comes to believe? Can God save someone who doesn't believe? What about someone who doesn't know what to believe? Lesson two today. God is bigger than our simple you're in or you're out ideas. This passage isn't about who has to believe in what. It is about how God is the one who is in charge of all that. Everyone in the house was baptized. Adults, children, workers, babies, everyone. God creates. We mess up. God redeems. We mess up. Paul was mean. God turned the situation into one of deliverance, not just for Paul and Silas, but also for a jailer and his household. Lesson three today. God's desire is that all would be saved. And God gets God's way no matter what. I don't know exactly how it all works, and I don't know why there is so much awfulness that happens in the world. But ultimately, God gets God's way. And God isn't the feudal lord who demands the sacrifice of an innocent in order for there to be forgiveness of the many. God's grace is unlimited, and God's love is unconditional and unending. What we do and how we live them, then, aren't based on some kind of reward for right beliefs, but rather living and sharing that grace and love with all of God's creation. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you're welcome here. God invites you to experience new life. God will not fail in saving you and your household. Let's live now and beyond. Amen.